Hey, what's up, Toby?
Hey, buddy.
How you doing, man? We are we made it through a half a year.
Happy year. Half Welcome a year, to spring.
I know. Yeah. We did it. What's funny is like I did one by myself, and that was like that was hard. Like I got a whole new respect for people that do podcasts by themselves. It was nutty.
I so appreciate having fun and doing these silly things with you, and silly and serious, but it's a lot easier to trade witticisms with somebody across the table, you know?
Heck yeah.
No. What have you been thinking about?
So
I've got a top some things.
Yeah. I have a topic for today. The topic for today that I would like to talk about, and I don't even know why this one came up, but I was thinking about those like military human exoskeletons.
Well, sure, like we do, right?
Yeah. I mean, like
were
I mean,
you, were you lifting something heavy or what was going on?
maybe it's because I'm older and my hip hurts. I'm like, maybe I need
fair. Okay.
maybe I need to go and rent one of those. What I was trying to think about there was specifically around like structures that seem like they would actually be very helpful.
Yeah.
Or look like they assist. And it also feels like every time those little exoskeleton things happen, and maybe it was an infomercial. I don't know I don't know why I was thinking about this, but you're always kind of like, oh man, that looks cool. But then like,
oh, for sure.
They never work.
Yeah, no. Like we want them to work like Avatar, right? Or like Alien,
yeah,
where they just flawlessly pivot. It's almost like they understand what you're going to do.
Yeah.
I've never experienced anything that works remotely like that.
Yeah. Oh. Well, and then the other funny thing is like they're always marketed as like military grade and they'll help people. And you're like, these dudes are like the strongest, like badasses out there. And you're like, you're going to give them an exoskeleton to slow them down.
Yeah. Like, a little bit encumbered.
Like maybe just go old school and use your body. But anyway, so the thought here is just really around, from a process standpoint.
Yeah.
I think a lot of businesses build up these exoskeletons around tooling.
Oh, dude. Right?
And so our daily work is this exoskeleton clunky thing.
Ugh.
Where we've got to put a piece of our day, and it's almost always the trifecta of some ERP or some sort of system like that. A ticketing system.
Yeah.
A PowerPoint deck. Excel.
Ugh.
And pick 12 other tools.
Right. Yeah. Well, and some of the clunkiness today is it's different than when you and I first entered the workforce in the 90s, right? Because we have two-factor authentication. Everything is in the cloud. We're working remotely, whether it's from home or somewhere else. So there's all these additional layers. And then the malcontents, you know, those maliciously oriented, fierce agended monsters are out there figuring out, how do I crawl into all of their stuff that I'm not supposed to be in?
Oh, yeah.
And so even if the software has been tuned after decades, there's all these extra layers of exoskeleton that have nothing to do with the motion we're trying to accomplish. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I love this.
It totally is. It's almost like if a reptile, like, never shed its skin.
It was just dragging along years of dead skin.
Just dragging to, like, why do you have that? We're not sure.
Yeah.
Henry over there, he just won't shed his skin. He just wants to hold on to things.
Henry is so selfish, hanging on to all that dead skin.
Henry, like, that's an example of why do we do this report?
Yeah. TPS reports, baby.
What do you do here?
You know, you raise a really interesting point too. And I want to go back to what you said about, we talk about military grade, which generally means that we're talking about physical tasks
yeah,
that are being performed by generally younger people at or near their peak physical condition. So they've already been tuned and optimally aligned. Let's you know, benefit of the doubt. We always know exceptions. We all saw Stripes. You know, Bill Murray's not Delta Force of one kind of specimen, but he's funny. So, but here we have people that are tuned for the work at hand. But then what we're trying to do is promote a better way of getting more out of them. Talk to me about how you see that in the workplace. Because I'm hearing that in this process.
You know what? What's interesting is, like, I think, you know, developers happen to be, you know, they're one of the highest paid, like, careers.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they are forced to build stuff that's repeatable.
Mm-mm.
And I, you know, sometimes, like, they also, what's interesting about developers is oftentimes they have the ability to just basically ignore things. Like, they're one of the few, like, one of the few careers where they can put on blinders.
Yeah.
And it's kind of okay if they're respected by their peers.
Yeah.
But you go into other, like, you go into a marketing, like, or creative stuff, like, it, like, a lot of that work is just reactionary, or can be, at least.
Right. That's interesting.
Then the management layer, like the exoskeleton reporting management layer that people put on, is that has just always been fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
because the report's never good enough, and so it's always changing.
Yeah.
And so that oftentimes the process doesn't fully support the report, so the report, you know, has to be altered or changed or whatever in order to meet a need, and then the process stops, but the report continues, just keeps going.
You know,
it's like the Energizer Bunny.
The thought that crosses my mind as you start to talk about management reports and the inadequacies there, and the exoskeleton of reporting up to leadership, it makes me think that the optimally tuned organism that is the organization has maybe outgrown, and it's not figured out how to shed its skin. Like, I don't know that organizations at thousands of people are really an optimal organism. I think it's something that's done for economies of scale. It's done for a myriad of reasons, but I think that we're still very tribal. And so our optimal working teams are probably that tribal range. You know, I think the approximate number and the number of relationships, healthy relationships where we can see one another's worth and identify boundaries and how we work together, that number really maxes out at something like 60.
Yeah.
And so we talk about departments, you know, maybe at that size, and then we have managers inside of departments. But I don't think that organizations were ever intended to report up for thousands of people across multiple time zones, multiple continents, and therefore it's inherently broken, perhaps. It's just bad exoskeleton.
Yeah. Well, and I think what's hard is, like, because the larger you get, the more control you have to have.
Right.
Oh. Right? Or perceived control.
Yeah.
And so you have to report on that somehow. And the other thought that I had, you know, recently was, like, does reporting structure or business reports limit innovation? And, you know, cause I was talking to a friend, cause I did I did some Salesforce work, three or four years ago.
Okay.
And one of the things that we wanted to change is we want to actually make the system better, but because of one of our measurements, I couldn't actually make a change because it was going to make the manual response time go from, you know, less than 2 days to 2 seconds because we were automating it, and we were automating it for a very specific purpose, which was, anytime in these ticketing systems, when you send an email, it captures that email and it basically links all those emails together. Well, what was happening was, with the Salesforce implementation, they would send it to the client, but it would be before hours, and then we'd get a reply, and then all of a sudden they'd have 12 tickets.
Oh.
And so we had to fight very hard to do the auto response piece, because it would have took your two day or 12 hour or whatever response time down to 2 seconds, and then it just basically killed their metric. And you're like, no, I'm solving a real problem over here. But there was this exoskeleton of something that had to be met that really was met because of when we started it, we just didn't know.
Yeah.
And the innovation was in adding an automation to help reduce duplicate tickets, because there was a ton of them. And it was like this internal battle of like, well, that's going to change the report. You're like,
ding, 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 on the nose.
You're right. It sure will. Well, our clients won't like that. Okay. Then so we literally, the one thing that we had to do is we had to make it a toggleable, so you could turn it on or off per client.
Right.
Which was hilarious.
Yeah. Let's add in late. You know, what's funny, Chris, is that I think in your example of there's a clear reason why timeliness matter. And then there's certain information that can and cannot be communicated as timely as people want. You and I have lamented over the years about some of the gyrations we've gone through in our careers. And I remember doing a lot of one-off analysis. We've talked about this. And then they go, great, now make that persistent.
Yeah.
Because it's something that was never created. Conversely, we're asked to build persistent things, but the need isn't well understood.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I might have Ripley, awesome alien exoskeleton, but if my job is peeling grapes, I'm still screwed. It could be the absolute best tool in the world. But if we don't understand the purpose, then it's a misfit.
Yeah, I have a friend that said this, and I'm going to steal it from him, but he said there's nothing more permanent than a temporary fix. and so many of those things happen, and I don't necessarily even know that there's a problem, like that you can, it's something that you can fix. I guess fundamentally it comes down to this: management's number one task is to unblock its people.
Mm-hmm. Say that.
And there is this exoskeleton.
I don't think people get that.
I think management's number one role is to unblock people.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying it again for deep seats, because I think that is a huge, huge statement for us.
Yeah. Well, and I think if you can unblock people, you have the people that are the boots on the ground doing the work.
Yeah.
You're going to get phenomenal ideas.
Yeah.
And it's a hard in and of itself is a hard problem, because they've got things that they've got to answer to. But if you can unblock people and go to the shop floor and figure out, hey, what are these people doing, or what are their ideas on making it better?
Yeah.
You might actually get some really good stuff.
Well, and dear Lord, you might also get people invested in your mission. You might get people engaged in the work because they're seeing their insight manifest into new directions.
Yeah.
Exoskeletons,
man.
Yeah.
And it's
shellfish and broken make-believe. Well, you know, actually, shellfish are a great example, right? Animals in the wild that create and live inside of their skeleton instead of having all their skin suit wrapped around it. But it's super purposeful. Yep. I mean, and that's been a long and slow evolution. We're just horribly impatient.
Well, if you also look at the exoskeleton animals like mollusks, and like they're not rapidly moving. Right? They're localized. Like, you know, no one says, you know what, when I think of strategy, I think of shellfish. I think from a seasonal stand, like I think companies have to play that strategy. And but that doesn't necessarily mean that, like, yeah, it has to be intentional. And I guess that's the process debt conversation here, which really comes down to, like, you have to be intentional. Like, and we've talked about this, I don't know, probably 10 episodes. Like, debt isn't always bad, but it is if you don't know what you're doing with it. Oh, yeah. Oh, so brutal. No. Correct. It's not a mortgage on a house, right? It's something that I did, and I wanted to shortcut the system in order to do a thing. And if someone's going to have to pay the piper, or someone's going to have to be the fall guy, like, that's how it works. Well, we did. Yeah. Well, we did it again. We talked about exoskeletons. It's good stuff, man. Let's keep it rocking. I know. There you go. All right, man. All right. All right. Thanks, man. We'll see you next week. Bye.